Good to see everyone. So if you can, stand with me and we'll read God's Word together. In Exodus chapter 33, 7 through 11. 7 through 11. We're still back on Moses again. I know last week we talked a little bit about Moses. And so if you missed the message last week, I encourage you to go on the website and listen to it. And I always encourage you to try to listen to the messages so that you stay up to what we're doing and what we're talking about and kind of flowing with it if you could. So Moses, Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 11. It says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. It's amazing how many times they mentioned that, you know, that's important. Verse 8, so it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. You may be seated. Thank you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for the awesome good news of everyone having surgeries and sicknesses and getting well. Lord, I thank you that the COVID is decreasing and going down. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll continue battling and fighting all these crazy diseases and things going on in our country. Father, we pray specifically for our election. Pray for our leaders from the top to the bottom. Lord, we pray for peace. Lord, that this will be a peaceful election and there won't be any crazy stuff that's going on. As always, Father, we pray for our foreign missionaries around the country, spreading the good news of the gospel, and we lift up our military. Pray for Ren, Father. Keep him safe over there. Keep all of our military folks safe. Let them do their job. Come back home. Lord, I give you this message. I give it over to you, and I ask you to speak to the folks' hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen? Are you still there? Amen. Good to see everyone. We got a lot of folks out traveling, vacationing this morning, so we'll pray for their safety too. So the message this morning is called Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. I looked at the word intimacy, and it means closely acquainted. It means familiar with or personal, real personal, that word intimacy. Now, I was really hoping Adam would be here this morning. I know he's feeling bad because I know I can get a rise out of him with this one, but it's okay. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for him. Is his tummy hurting? Oh, Lamb. Oh, now I really feel bad. Sorry. That's awesome. And, Adley, we went to a football game, right? And Glenn picked me up and went to the football game Friday night, Brooks County, Cook County. I graduated from Cook High, so I was back and forth, you know, and I really just whatever team won, it was great. But I was kind of deep down, I was rooting for Brooks County because I'm really sold out on that one now. But thanks, Glenn. And Melissa came over and sat with Lynn, and they had a good night. We ate pizza, and that was awesome. So thank you guys very much. That was fun. So I got away, and I was able to get out of the house for a little bit. Then I watched about an hour of the Georgia game. Anybody watch that? I knew you would, definitely. All right, so let's move on. Before seat belts were required, anybody remember that? Before seat belts were required in driving or riding in a car or truck, you would always know when couples were intimate. Anybody know where I'm going? You would always see the guy, you know, the guy driving the truck, and you'll see his girl or his wife or young wife usually. We'll be all snuggled up next to him in the truck. Anybody remember those days? No? Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There you go, David. Thank you. Yeah, especially, you know, young boys and young girls, right? That was the deal. And I remember I had a truck and I had a gun rack in my truck. Anybody remember that? We'd go to school with our guns in the back of the truck. Didn't have no gun violence back in the day, you know. Anybody had a gun rack in your truck? Come on, raise your hand, guys. I think it's funny. That also meant, and you can tell, if their relationship was strained, couldn't you? Because you could tell, because, you know, the guy would be driving the truck or the car, and the young lady or whatever would be way over on the other side, you know, up against the passenger door, you know, and you could tell something's up with them, you know. Especially if they were riding around all the time, snuggy, and then all of a sudden, whoop, oh boy, something's going on. In other words, intimacy is reflected by closeness. Closeness. And to get serious this morning, really, you know, God is pursuing us. He's pursuing us to salvation. He's calling us to become born again and be adopted into His family. He's pursuing us. And then after that, after we're born again, God continues to pursue us. He wants a close relationship with us. He wants us to know Him. And we talked a lot about that last week, about knowing God. You know, intimacy with God is not just informational knowledge. It's relational knowledge. It's about relationship, about knowing Him. It's where you and God are sitting close to each other, because you're getting to know each other. Amen? Which really, and everybody listen to this, which really means you are getting to know yourself as God knows you. You're getting to know yourself as God sees you. If you're a born-again Christian, God has forgiven your sins. He has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Like the song this morning, we have victory in Jesus. God doesn't remember the old you. The old you died on the cross with Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old Dallas that did all the bad things died. Doesn't exist anymore. He died, was nailed to the cross. All those things that I did was nailed to the cross. Now all the things I do today and all the things that I do tomorrow and next week and next year are also nailed to the cross. So God sees you, probably, if I had to guess, a lot differently than we see each other. We see ourselves. Because we have a tendency to beat ourselves up based on what we did or did not do. Amen? That's why I love our verse for today. Moses went to the tent of the meeting to meet with God face to face. And he met with God, and he talked with God just as a man talking with his friend. I just didn't make that up. Y'all heard me read that, right? You saw it. Talking just as a friend. I remember the day, I don't remember the day, but I remember the time when I was going to Valdosta State College back then. Remember Valdosta State College? I was going to Valdosta State College full time, and Lynn and I were full time in the ministry. We had a college ministry. And I was preaching all over and trying to manage a full-time college student, wife with three little tiny babies and little kids, and seems like my whole life has been like that. But anyway, amen. But I remember having a time where, man, I just don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't know if I can keep going. And this was in 1992. Yeah, 92, 93. That's a long time ago, really, think about it. 1992, 93. And I remember walking by Powell Hall. Anybody remember that? There used to be a wooded area there, and there was a trail that goes through there. And I remember, you know, walking through this trail, I got out of class, and I was heading home and was trying to get somewhere to go preach that Sunday, and I was going this trail, and there was some benches, little park benches, concrete park benches. It's got black widows all underneath them. I remember sitting down on that park bench and just saying, Lord, I don't know if I can keep doing this, you know. I didn't hear God's voice, you know, like supernaturally or whatever, but I just heard the Lord speaking in my heart, sit right here. Sit right here and let's talk about it. And I sit right there on that park bench and I cried for about 10, 15 minutes. Because it was like revelational knowledge. It just came over me. That, you know, God is not some great Oz up there behind the curtain. You know, controlling everything with levers, you know. Sort of, but not really, right? But he's not some old man, you know, up in the sky ready to throw a lightning bolt down at me if I make one little mistake or strike me dead or... You know, I remember saying, man, Jesus is my friend. I remember thinking, Jesus is my friend. And I can talk to him. I can sit right here on this park bench and I can have a conversation with Jesus and just talk to him. I can tell him what's going on in my life. You know, I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to say it wrong. Or think something I shouldn't think that's going to condemn me. I could actually have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus sitting right here. Kind of like Moses did, right? Talking to a friend. And yes, I know, before you throw something at me, I know that we have this theological view of God regarding respect and awe. And we should. Absolutely, we should have that. Respect and awe. But Jesus is our brother. Holy Spirit is our friend, right? Our guide, our counselor, our support. Yes. God is the great creator and the maker of everything. This past week, I took our clients at Penfield, you know, getting cabin fever, you know, not being able to go anywhere. So I took them to Grand Bay out on Bemis Road. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Walk out Grand Bay and you go through a little swamp, get to the end of the fire tower. Some of the young guys climbed the fire tower like having a heart attack. I didn't climb it. Anyway, we took them out there. Some of these city slicker guys, you know, that had never been anywhere. They were scared and going through the swamp and, you know, if an alligator gets you, well, yeah, alligator gets you. You know, you'll be okay. Just run real fast. I need my job. But it was great, man. It was beautiful. And right in the middle of the swamp, some of you know what I mean, there's these little white flowers, you know, little lily pad flowers. And we stop and look at it. You know, that this flower was like, I took a picture of it, was perfect. And how it bloomed out and everything about it was just perfect. Sitting right on that lily pad in the middle of that, you know, swamp with all kind of critters in there. It was just beautiful. And so some of the guys commented about how, you know, the whole theme of the group, I took them out for group therapy there, the group was, you know, seeing God in nature. You know, I've preached about that before. You know, kind of a spirituality kind of group. And they talked about how it was beautiful out there. And if you've never been to Grand Bay, it's pretty cool, man. Take your kids or that kind of thing. It's on Bemis Road. Now, the creation and beauty in nature is awesome. But God really, I believe, and this is my own personal thing, I really believe that God created all this for our enjoyment, and I'm sure he had an awesome, fun time at creating all that, especially the Grand Canyon, those kind of things. But I think God really created that kind of stuff to inspire us to want to know the creator of the creation. It's inspire us to go, wow, okay, there's a greater creator. I want to get to know him. You know, like mankind, you know. I want to get to know him. And I'd like to get to know him personally, maybe even face to face. Amen? This is said to us in the New Testament as well, in Hebrews 13:13. Hebrews 13:13 says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. It's Hebrews 13:13. See, to go outside the camp, which is where Moses went, right? Moses had to leave the crowd. He had to leave the managing responsibilities to someone else. And he had to lay it all down in order to go and spend time with God. Are y'all hearing this? Listen, okay? If you and I are going to get to know God, that won't be done primarily in the crowd of church. That won't be done primarily through the church activities. Now don't get me wrong, that's all great. Coming to church, singing, Sunday school, church activities, that's all great. Nothing wrong with the crowd of the church. Nothing wrong with the crowd of the church activities. But guys, we know from studying even Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, got alone with his Father outside the camp. Amen? So if you want to become intimate with God, it means you'll have to leave something behind. That's different for everyone. We all know that when a couple gets married, there is this leaving behind thing, right? This leaving and cleaving, and the two shall become one. Everybody know what I'm talking about? That's the idea of getting close to God. You must leave something behind. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about, you know, really developing that intimate relationship with God. And sometimes the thing that we need to leave behind is the thing that we don't really want to leave behind. And I'm not going to nitpick here because it's really none of my business. But you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about things that you may need to say, okay, I got to cut this loose. I got to stop doing this. I'm not going to meddle. That starts getting into my opinion. And remember when we talked about that? I ain't going to give you my opinion. That's why it talks about bearing his reproach. Okay, everybody good? Because when you seek to get close to God and pursue an intimate relationship with him, here it is. It's going to go against culture. It's going to go against worldliness. It's going to go against secular thinking. And it may even go against some of your family customs. Right? This kind of relationship that I'm talking about, it may even say, you know what, yeah, maybe I need to not do that anymore, even though mom and dad did it. Mom and dad thought about it. Grandparents thought about it this way. If it doesn't go with the Word of God, we may have to let it go. If it's not consistent with God's Word, we may have to let it go. I don't know. You may have to give up a few things you learned in high school, in college, because it's not consistent with God's Word. See, what's happening is if you're seeking this intimate relationship with God, you're entering into a new relationship. It's exciting. When our three sons got married, guess what? They left us. Anybody feel our pain? They left us. You know why? Because they fell in love. They fell in love. They had to say goodbye to us and the history that we had built with them. This is because of a new experience of intimacy in their lives. They're creating a new history with their family. All this is emerging in their life. They're building a new history. And that's sweet, isn't it? Some of you know exactly, you know, what we're talking about. They're making their own families. They're creating their own families. That's the way it's supposed to go. If you want to know God, you're going to have to leave behind some old history. Good or bad. Some of you are holding on to old, bad history. Time to let it go. Time to give it to God. Some of you are holding on to some good history. Some things that you really enjoy. Again, it's a personal thing. No matter how much you're attracted to this history, no matter how much you enjoyed it, you may have to leave it. I'm not talking about deer hunting here, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Or maybe, I don't know, if the shoe fits. You know, I'm not going to meddle. That's what I was going to get at. So you're looking at a greater experience. That's what's encouraging about this. As we enter into this intimate relationship with God, it's better than anything we've ever could imagine. Now, as we talked about last week, it is possible to be a Christian and still not know God when it comes to an intimate relationship. We know that's true because we talked about last week that in the book of John, where Philip asked Jesus, you know, when am I going to see the Father? And Jesus kind of gets frustrated with him and says, you've been walking with me this whole time and you still don't get it? You know? Philip still had not fully connected with Jesus and still didn't know him. He really didn't know him intimately. So guys, the challenge this morning is it's not just about being a Christian. That's all great. Salvation, amen. It's pursuing an intimate relationship that will give you that experience of really knowing God. It's a huge difference. I'll give you a silly example. You ready? I'm thirsty. Too much salty ham. So here's a silly example for you, and then we'll close. When you go to a restaurant, there's a menu, and you can read about the food. There's also a waiter or waitress that can tell you about the food. But you don't get up and go home once you've read about it and let someone tell you about it, right? Because deep down in your soul, which is about survival, right, and pleasure, deep down in your soul, you have a need. You didn't just come for the menu. You just didn't come to have a waiter explain it to you, right? You came to experience it. You came to taste the food. And that's what Scripture talks about in Psalms 34:8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts Him." God wants you to taste His reality of who He really is. Far too many Christians are satisfied with pacifiers. It's hard if it steps on any toes, but you know what a pacifier is, right? It's what you put into a baby's mouth to keep him quiet. It's fake food. It's not the real thing. So what we do is get them nibbling and gnawing on that pacifier, and it kind of tricks them. However, all of us here are old enough to know that we've been in places where the baby finds out that this is not the real thing, especially if they start smelling food. They spit it out, and they start letting you know they want reality, not to just be pacified. Everybody with me? Sometimes sermons can pacify us. Singing can pacify us. Knowledge can pacify us. Until we wake up one day and we realize, I want a meal. I want some real food. We want that experience of really knowing God. And that's one of the great scriptures in James chapter 4, 8. It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Amen? So where are you sitting with God in the car right now? Are you on the other side? Or are you snuggling up close? Like Moses, are you saying, God, I want to know you. I want to feel your presence. I want to get to know you. Now, I understand that sometimes we have our 15 or 30 minute devotional each day, and that's all great. We have a little prayer time. I think that's great. It's wonderful. But I'm talking about an experience even more than that. I'm talking about inviting Him into your entire day. Everything that's going on within your day. Like Paul says, like praying without ceasing. Make Him a part of your entire day and every part of your life and every decision you make and everything that you're doing in life. Talk to Him like a friend. Ask Him for help, for assistance, for guidance. Thank Him for that flower in the swamp. Thank Him for that bird in the tree, or that little hummingbird that zzzz around in our window. We're going to get a hummingbird thingy feeder. They're awesome. Last thing. If your walk with the Lord is a job and not a joy, then you haven't pursued the relationship enough. Because when you do, as Jesus says, you will find out that His commandments are not burdens. He said that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Amen? You'll find out that what used to be a job is now a joy because you really get to know Him in an intimate way. Amen? Do you know Him this morning? Let's close. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for encouraging us and strengthening us and providing everything that we need. Lord, I pray for this one here this morning that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. During this song of invitation, they'll come down and make it right. Give their life to Christ. Be adopted into the family of God. Oh, we love You. We give it all to You. In Jesus' name, amen.